As soon as Pablo came through the front door that night with his girlfriend Fernande, he handed me a little wooden goat. It fit in the palm of my hand. It was a real-looking goat, but rough-hewn, the nose a bit too fat, the ears a bit too long. "For the children, I did it with this," he said, pulling from his pocket a simple one-bladed jackknife. "It's a lovely little goat. It was quite thoughtful of you, Pablo." Pablo nodded at Fernande, a smouldering young beauty, taller than Pablo, with a roll of dark hair crowning her head.
"I take no credit. It was her idea."
Fernande smiled at me and shrugged. "Pablo forgets that some people actually do have children." We settled in the front parlour with vermouth in the little green glasses, and after a while, I left to check on the dinner. According to Francesco, they were talking about Apollinaire and Chagall, who had just arrived in town, when Pablo went over to the fireplace and tossed in his cigarette. That's when he picked up Pamela's drawing on the mantelpiece. A small piece of paper, postcard size, resting among the photographs.
"Who did the cobayo? What is the French Fernande?"
"La même chose, cobaye."
"In my language, it's caviar,"
Francesco said, and looked up with amused triumph in his eyes as I returned to the room.
"Guinea pig to you, Marjorie. Pablo was just asking who drew the picture."
"Oh, the little guinea pig. Pamela did that this morning."
"Pamela? Your daughter?"
"But no. She is only, I'm sorry, I can't remember these things. How old did you say she was?"
4.
"Quattro?
Ah, it cannot be so.
Do you have anything else to show me that this 4-year-old has done?"
Pamela. After Christmas, Dickon returned to the city. He dropped by, only to let us know that he'd found a place to stay with friends. It was probably a good thing, not seeing very much of Dickon. I really was feeling overwhelmed, steeped in work. I still had a long way to go with the birthday of the Infanta. I was concentrating hard on the intricacies of a ruff, adorning the neck of a young noble boy, when there was a knock at the studio door. Then, Dickon's voice.
"Hello? Hello, Pamela?"
He stood next to me. I could tell he was uneasy. He looked quite fine in his charcoal overcoat, soft grey scarf, and rather beat-up fedora. But his manner was sheepish. His closeness, his pipe smell. It was too much. "I love him," I thought. "I can't bear this." I felt lightheaded. I tried to continue drawing, but I had to put the pen down. My hand was trembling. I knew this was not to be a happy visit. He was going away again, he told me. Jane Cassidy had invited him down to her winter home, Bellevue in Virginia. Her husband was away on an extended trip to Des Moines. She thought Dickon would find it a quiet place to write. He could ride Suki, his favourite horse. How jolly.
"But you've only just got here, Dickon, for God's sake. Can't you stay in New York for at least a bit longer? It seems like you're always trying to get away from me. It's true, isn't it?"
"Not at all, Pamela. It has nothing to do with you, really."
"Well, what has it to do with, then?"
"Just what it is. A chance to see a new part of the country and, well, I've started on some poetry again. You know, I've found I do seem to work better in the country than in the city. I don't know why. Remember, in Wales, how I wrote, 'I wish we could go back to Wales. We were happy there.' But Pamela, I don't see that this is about our happiness or lack of happiness."
"Oh, God, just go, Dickon, just leave. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm too busy, as you can see."
I waved at my drawings.
I've got to get these finished on time.
An example of Pamela's voice, aged to 77. After Christmas, Dickon returned to the city. He dropped by, only to let us know that he'd found a place to stay, with friends. It was probably a good thing, not seeing very much of Dickon. I really was feeling overwhelmed, steeped in work. I still had a long way to go, with the birthday of the Infanta. I was concentrating hard on the intricacies of a ruff adorning the neck of a young noble boy, when there was a knock at the studio door. Then, Dickon's voice.